Congressman Richie Neal is the congressman from my district, the Massachusetts 1st District, Democrat in office since 1989, a huge force in the United States Congress, a guy who brings home the bacon like nobody I know. Richie, let's continue with our conversation about the present election between Trump and Clinton. And, you just taught me something. You said not since Lyndon Johnson. Is that right?
That's correct.
Go ahead. Repeat the
report. Well, not just Lyndon Johnson has a Democratic candidate for president secured a majority of white voters.
That is extraordinary to me.
And to play off of that, I believe Barack Obama received more white votes than Al Gore or John Kerry.
Well, how come?
Well, I think that there was, even amongst people I know that had not cast Democratic ballots for president, there was a sense that the time had come. And that Obama had really run a splendid campaign the first time around. I think no matter who his most ardent critic would be, they'd have to admit that that campaign, considering that nobody had even known who he was 3 years before that, would be, by any measure, one of the great campaigns in American history. And I think that if you didn't know President Obama, I think that you were able to fill in your own aspirations. And I remember thinking on election night that... 8 years ago, what a great country we lived in. Also see, as the commentary and the conversation has moved forward, that the racial divide seems to be hardening again.
Will black voters come out in the same way, African-American voters come out in the same way for Hillary Clinton that they came out for Barack Obama?
Well, we call it micro-trending, as you know. We've got a pretty good idea of who's where, and the idea always in an election is to get them to the polls. So the emphasis that Secretary Clinton is placing on African-American voters is immense. But not to miss the point, it's the millennial African-American voter she needs to get to the polls. Older African-American voters are a sort of cemented part of her coalition. And not to miss the point, in the South Carolina Democratic primary, this year, she got more African-American votes than Barack Obama did 8 years ago. So I think that there's a lot of statistical data out there, and the question is, in the end, very simple. Can you get your supporters to the polls?
So I wanted to go to another place now. The Supreme Court of the United States, it's huge in this election. So I got to ask you this. You're the Republicans. Hillary wins, if Hillary wins, do you let the Obama appointment of Merrick Garland go through on the theory that she might appoint somebody who's worse for you?
That's a terrific question, and I've got to think it's a question that is going through Mitch McConnell's mind. As you know, he has already said that he will not allow a lame duck vote on a Supreme Court justice. But I also think that Merrick Garland is eminently qualified to sit on the United States Supreme Court, coupled with the fact that if you look at his history, he is the most moderate of the candidates that are out there. And I think that for Senator McConnell and Republicans, they probably will find a more feisty advocate in Hillary Clinton as it relates to the Supreme Court. And my sense is that she will likely bring that name up again for nomination only because of the fact that through this whole process, nobody has said anything that would disqualify Merrick Garland from sitting on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Hey, somebody came up to me, Richie, and said to me the other day, I'm sure he didn't mean it, if Trump wins, I'm going to relocate. I'm going to go to either Canada or I'm going to go to Ireland. So I want to talk to my Irish expert, you know, on this. I know some countries have, before you can relocate, you've got to prove that you have the assets to be able to not draw on their social service system. Is that true in Ireland?
That's partially true. You can declare a dual citizenship, but you also have to make sure that you're not what they call benefit shopping across Western Europe. So there is a drawdown requirement. I'm not sure of the particulars of it, but I have seen it referenced in periodicals that I read from time to time.
Interesting. Okay. So, Democrats going to take the Senate?
Well, I will tell you this. I was a bit more optimistic 3 months ago. I think a couple of things happened that were unforeseen, not the least of which was Marco Rubio saying that he was going to go back to the Senate at the urging of Mitch McConnell. And that was fascinating because, if you remember, one of the criticisms of Senator Rubio by Jeb Bush and others was that he had not shown up for his job.
Right.
Because he was on the campaign trail. And now, all of a sudden, he has opened up a comfortable lead. And what you want to pay attention to right now is where the money is being spent by the national party committees. And in Florida, apparently the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee has indicated as of Monday evening that they are not going to be spending any more money in Florida. Mm-hmm. And as you know, the Republicans have made a similar decision in Wisconsin and in Illinois. So once that drawdown begins, and that began, for example, in Ohio with Strickland and Portman about 2 months ago. If you remember, that was a toss-up a year ago. I never believed it was a toss-up. Mm. I thought that Portman would prevail. He's opened up a comfortable lead. So the money that was to go to Ted Strickland, who is a fine human being, incidentally, that money are going to be spent elsewhere. So what will happen is that money will be consolidated now in about four or five of those contests and spent in North Carolina, spent in New Hampshire, and spent in Pennsylvania, where that seems to be the available path for Democrats to emerge with perhaps a two-seat majority. I always thought it would be 52-48, 51-49, and if it's 50-50 and Clinton wins, then it actually is a Democratic majority because the vice president will cast the tie-breaking vote.
Indeed, and let's go to Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire. Got caught between a rock and a hard place, didn't she?
She's caught between a rock and a hard place, and I must tell you, whether it was be a Democrat or a Republican, I would have never believed anywhere that you could sell the argument that you would vote for and support but not endorse. I have not understood that nomenclature. The particulars of that continue to baffle me. And, you know, one of the problems that I think that Republicans are going to have after this election, certainly at the presidential level, is that while maybe Trump will go away, Trumpism is not going to go away.
Yeah, yeah. And you compare Trumpism to other countries like Le Pen and others who have said
I think it was very similar to the Brexit vote, to be candid with you, where it's almost like Etch-a-Sketch. You can fill in whatever you want during the election, and then the next morning you wake up and you look at the result. And all of a sudden, people who had voted for Brexit, believing that you could maintain the benefits of European Union, even if you got to the exit ramp on the turnpike, that was fallacy. And it was a hard discovery. And I think that Prime Minister May, she has tried to figure out, can we leave European Union but keep European Union customs and tariffs? So they're going to try to nuance this thing. And I think a hard break is something she does not want. But it highlights the idea that there is, after an election, and particularly referendum questions, which tend to be yes and no, they tend to be all or nothing. And recall that one of the other dangers of the referendum question philosophy is what I call the notion that somehow we don't live in a representative democracy. Well, the truth is, we do live in a representative democracy. What we don't live in is a plebiscitary democracy, mm-hmm. where we all gather in the field regularly to vent our emotions. And the danger is, once again, that if you look at the state of California, I believe there are 25 referendum questions on the ballot this year.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. And those people who hate referendums, I'm not one of them. I'm always for them.
Well, you get one of the things you get you're elected member of Congress or your legislator or your senator. One of the things that you get is you're not always going to get yes or no. You might get maybe. Yeah. But it gives you time to work through difficult problems.
Yep. We've seen it in California. We've seen some disgraceful plebiscites. But yes, Richie Neal, I love having you on the show. And when we come back the next time, we got more questions.
Happy to hear you.